Welcome to Candy Bar Stories. This week's story is called Art at School.
Ever since I was a kid, I've loved to draw. I've drawn animals. I drew people. I drew cities. I drew characters from movies like Star Wars. I drew everything. I was always drawing. I liked to go with Daddy to his workplace and draw there. My daddy worked in a reuse and recycling centre, and Daddy would show me the machines they used to crush and compact trash. Daddy would even let me turn the compactor on so I could see a whole field of rubbish turn into perfect cubes, which then rolled out on a conveyor belt. I would jump up and down. It was so exciting. I like to make flipbook cartoons of the whole process. When I finished them, I would show them to Daddy. Daddy would hesitantly smile, but didn't show much enthusiasm. He wanted me to learn what it was like to do a hard day's work, prepare me for the future ahead, toughen me up.
"You gotta be a lion, not only just draw them,"
my daddy would say. Daddy said this a lot. This made me sad, but I kept on drawing. As I grew up, I eventually started painting. I would take photographs of my work and edit them on Photoshop. I used tools like the blur and stylized filter to make my pictures better. When I turned 19, I applied to art school and got in. I was so happy. I told Mum and Daddy. They said, "Well done," but I could tell they didn't seem all that happy about it. Daddy had already tried to persuade me to do something else.
"I don't know, son. I'm just worried, that's all,"
my dad said. But I was on a path. I was never going to put that paintbrush down. I moved into halls, and later that night I went to a club with my new flatmates. They were so interesting. I felt instantly at home as I began began dancing with my new friends. I moved into the middle of the circle they had going. All my friends cheered as I started to touch my toes. They cheered. I touched them and then stood upright. They cheered again. They all cheered and lifted me up into the air. I was having a great time. Suddenly, I felt a little grab from one of my friends. A little grab on the bum. They brought me back down, and I noticed one of them was smiling at me. It was Luca. He smiled back, and we kept eye contact. I was electrified. Suddenly, I saw Luca approaching me. I stood still. We were still smiling at each other. Luca's face came right up to mine and we started necking wildly. Our group of friends all went, "Ooh." I pulled away, laughing and jokingly said, "Oh, shut up," to the group. I continued kissing Luca as the two of us began embracing in a slow dance. This was it, I thought. It can't get any better than this. We shagged that evening and lay in each other's arms while I looked at the moon from the window. I watched Luca sleep. I fixed his hair and kissed him on the forehead. "Good night, my love," I said. The next day, we kissed goodbye and I went to university. "See you soon," I said. For the duration of Freshers' Week, we both got with each other a few times. And by the end of the week, I was smitten with Luca. A week later, I went to my studio to collect my paintings, which I was going to be presenting that afternoon to my tutor and a group of students. I'd been working on them all summer. They were paintings of machines compressing trash from the reuse and recycling center my dad worked in. I was proud of them, and I couldn't wait to show them. That afternoon, I went to my studio the crit was taking place in. I walked into the room and looked around. About 30 students were there, including my tutor. In the corner, to my astonishment, I could see Luca. Destiny, I thought, plays a tricky life in me. I waved, but Luca didn't clock me. He was talking to another guy and started laughing hysterically at something the other guy had said. I looked away and sat down in the nearest seat. A girl got up and said,
"Hi, I'm Poppy. I'm going to be presenting now, I think."
Ooh, it was a Scottish person. She turned the lights off and the projector started showing a film. The film displayed a box in a room. After a while, the box burst open and the girl, Poppy, came out of the box. She was naked. It was fantastic. The camera zoomed in and there was another box. This one also popped open and Poppy came out again. This happened 3 or 4 times. It was like a Russian doll, I thought. She dismissed the Russian doll reference and everyone agreed. The film ended and the lights came on again. After a few more presentations, it was my turn to show. I introduced myself and sat in a chair next to my paintings, which were hanging on the wall. There was a hushed silence in the room. I looked around the room. I caught Luca's eyes, who looked immediately away. After a moment, a voice from the front spoke.
Did you like paint these together? Or did you like do one at a time?
One at a time, I did them, I said. There was another silence. I looked over at Luca, who was looking at the paintings. My tutor, Malcolm, spoke. There's a real tension here between the sociopolitical state of automation, and suddenly a voice butted in. "There's nothing here," the voice said. Some people gasped. There was a silence as I looked over to see who had butted in.
"Sorry, but there is nothing here. Nothing," said the voice.
It was Luca. Luca was the one speaking. I couldn't believe it. I looked at Luca and thought, how dare he?
"Perhaps you could elaborate," said Malcolm, my tutor. "This isn't art. It is a machine painted by a machine," said Luca, who was still trying to avoid any eye contact with me. "It's too mechanical," said Luca.
I was hurt. I didn't want to believe it was Lucas saying these things. He hadn't spoken to me for a week. "I'm not having this," I thought. I spoke.
"I've been visiting this particular reuse and recycling center since I was a child. So I don't know about you, but I think I'm in quite a good position as to understanding what is going on in there," I said.
"It's empty. I don't know how to engage with it," said Luca.
I couldn't understand why Luca was being so harsh. I spoke again. "I've actually had the experience of using those machines. You don't know what I know."
"Are you being serious? There is no life. I don't hear the cogs. I don't feel the pressure of the machines, the impact of their power, the strength of the claws," said Luca.
"Why are you doing this here?" I said.
Hello, it's a crit," said Luca.
"You haven't called me in a week," I said. "Is this your way of saying no? Is this your way of saying it's over?" I stood up from my chair and shouted,
"I loved you."
Just as Luca was about to respond, my tutor, Malcolm, interrupted.
"Right, I think it's best we move on to another area of discussion. You two can discuss whatever issues you have privately, but these crits are a group discussion solely about the work. You understand? So please, let's move on."
There was a silence in the room. The presentation lasted another 5 minutes, with a few hesitant comments and questions here and there, but generally it was subdued. Luca didn't say another word, as he looked out the window for the duration of the entire crit. Months passed, and I and Luca didn't speak to each other. Even when we were in the communal kitchen together, in halls, we didn't say a word. When it came to my second presentation of the year, I arranged with my tutor that I would like to take the group on a little trip. Malcolm, my tutor, thought it was a wonderful idea, and liked the way I was now thinking. I had an idea to do a performance. Everybody was told to meet outside the main building as Malcolm told the group they would be taking a 15-minute tube ride to the Reuse and Recycling Centre for Paul's for Poor Mans. The previous evening, I had went round to my parents' house. I stayed for dinner and helped clean up the dishes. I said farewell, and just as I was about to leave, I secretly grabbed Dad's work keys from his jacket pocket in the hallway. I shouted, "Goodbye, speak soon," and quickly left the house. I had the keys to the Reuse and Recycling Center. I knew the center would be shut later in the afternoon. It would be the perfect time to take the group. The group arrived, and I opened the front door with my keys and turned off the alarm and CCTV. I knew the opening procedure very well, after seeing Daddy open the place up on countless occasions when I was growing up. I opened the door and let the group through, one by one. Luca was there, and as he passed me, I could see that he was smiling at me. I smiled back. Maybe after all of this we could at least be friends again, I thought. The group was amazed at the place. They pointed at the large heaps of trash and big machinery. I directed them into a large lift, and I took them one level down to where I was now going to perform. I took my keys out and opened a large sliding door. I went inside, turned around, and slowly asked everybody to come through. The place smelt awful and was covered in recyclables. It was perfect. Lots of plastic, large tube, big plastic pipes, empty milk cartons, old CD players.
"Man, it stinks,"
said one person.
"Wow, this is wonderful,"
said another.
"It's so raw,"
said another. Most of the group was astonished. Once they all came through, Paul, I took my position in the middle. I composed myself and clasped both of my hands together, raising them to the ceiling, shutting my eyes. Luca was impressed. This was already something. Malcolm, my tutor, was already nodding his head while looking at the trash on the floor. He picked up a piece of cardboard. "Genius," he thought. I kept my arms in place and started to take small steps backwards. Everybody watched in silence. I could see Luca's face, who was gazing in admiration. I kept taking small steps backwards till I reached the gate. I slid the door shut, took out the keys and locked it. Some of the group gasped. I pressed a red button beside the gate, and two walls inside the room started to close in.
Paul, what are you doing?"
shouted Malcolm, my tutor. Some people thought it was still part of the performance, and some people ran towards the gate, pleading for me to open it. "You said you wanted to feel the strength, Luca. Wanted to feel the pressure. Wanted to feel the power. Well, feel this, darling. Feel this," I said.
Luca shouted, "No, Paul. Don't. No!"
Thank you.
I got into the lift and hit the button for the ground level. The screaming faded as the lift ascended upwards. It was sunny outside, it was quite wonderful, and I now had the day to myself. I went to some galleries,